Broadcasting from the Taz and Lake Lodge studios on the Sporting Journal Radio Network. Heard in Minnesota, the Dakotas, Wisconsin, and online at sportingjournalradio.com. This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX. Now here's your host, Brett Amundson.
Welcome to the show. This week we're talking Lyme disease. Pete Nichols and Kelly Foss both have been battling Lyme disease. We're going to talk about their experiences, the symptoms they've had, and how their doctor visits and insurance payments have gone. Also, Joe Henry, his wife, has been battling Lyme disease. How has it gone for them? We'll find out. Ben Bredigan's got another weekly 2-minute OnX tip, and Doug Lear's got an update from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. This week's show brought to you by OnX Hunt. Know where you stand. Get the OnX Hunt app at onxmaps.com. By Lake of the Woods Tourism, plan a trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. By Haybale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake, go to haybaleheights.com. By Prairie Sportsman, watch episodes of Prairie Sportsman anytime at prairiesportsman.org. And by Mid-Migration Outfitters, offering guided duck and goose hunts in western Minnesota this fall.
The OnX Hunt Map, the most intelligent and accurate GPS mapping tool for hunters. OnX. Now your weekly 2-minute tip from OnX. Know where you stand.
All right, it's time for your weekly OnX Hunt 2-minute tip with Ben Bredigan. Ben, we want to talk about waterfowl hunters right now. How can the OnX app help us when we're out there looking for ducks?
So the one nice thing about the app is you can share waypoints easily with other people you're hunting with. Say, let's take, for example, we're out in North Dakota doing some duck hunting. And on the app, what I can do is click, say we found this great feed. I can go and click on a waypoint that I made and hit share waypoint, and it'll bring up your share screen, and you're going to be able to share it with you or whoever we're hunting with. So just easy ways to give you waypoints without having to text you GPS coordinates or anything like that. So on the web map, what that looks like, I'll share that with you here quickly. You're also able to share on the web map, very similar to how it look in the app. I'm going to go click on this waypoint, ducks here. I'll hit share, and on the web map, I can send it via email, or on the phone, I could text it to you, AirDrop, whatever. So a great way to share waypoints within the app.
Will it help me shoot better?
Yes, guaranteed. 10 out of 10 times.
Thanks, Ben. Stay tuned each week right here on Sporting Journal Radio for your weekly 2-minute tip from OnX. Or see our video tips on the Sporting Journal Radio Facebook page or YouTube channel.
OnX Hunt, maps for hunting, made by hunters. Download the OnX Hunt app on Google Play or the App Store. Or start your free trial today at onxmaps.com. OnX, know where you stand.
We got a Lake of the Woods fishing report coming up next in 30 seconds.
OnX Hunt. Ever heard of it? Next time you see that guy at your local shop who always punches his tag on a stud whitetail, ask him. He'll tell you about the most trusted source for mapping, with nationwide landowner names, private and public land boundaries, including walk-in areas, map tools to mark spots, and the ability to view your maps without cell service. And that's just scratching the surface. It's your time to be known as the big buck guy around town. Download the leader in hunt mapping on Google Play or the App Store. OnX Hunt. Know where you stand.
Now it's time once again to go up to Lake of the Woods to check in with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Joe, everybody's getting ready for a big tournament up there this weekend?
Yeah, you know what? The AIM Walleye Series. The Minnesota Championship is up at Lake of the Woods this week. It's a two-day tournament. And, boy, I tell you, it's going to be a big one. A lot of boats in it, a lot of really, really talented anglers. And, of course, they're using that AIM format, which is a catch, record, release, basically. So what that means is, you know, you're looking for the biggest fish in the system. You're going to, the first, when you measure them, Brett, they give you a judge, you know, which is a ruler. And what you have to do is you have to put that walleye down on that judge, belly to belly with the head to the left, and you put it down so that you can see that the nose, mouth closes is touching. And you swipe that tail, so your hands have to be in the middle so you can see the measurement. Your partner takes a picture, and you hold that fish up just like that for a hero shot. You take a second picture so you can identify the fish, which means you can't use that fish twice. They can tell by the markings on the fish. And then once you know you have those pictures, you release that fish and record it. But consequently, you're looking for the biggest fish in the system. So I'll tell you what, it's going to be a shootout. These are some good sticks, man. They're going to get some big walleyes this week.
How are they going to do it, Joe?
I would say two ways. I think most people are going to pull crankbaits out in that deep basin. that 32 to 36 feet of water. They're going to go after those big walleyes that feed on tules out there, pulling cranks on lead core, downriggers, snap weights, bouncers, you know, things like that. Whatever they use to get that crankbait down to where those walleyes are living, towards the bottom of the lake. I think the other way is pulling spinners. And that's just going to be using a, you know, 2 to 3 ounce weight in most cases, and then pulling spinners with a crawler. And, you know, you'll be pulling those cranks anywhere from probably, you know, 1.5 miles an hour to 2.8, anywhere in there, depending on what's tripping the trigger of those walleyes that day. And usually the spinners are going to be pulled at about, you know, 1.25 miles per hour. You know, it's interesting. I know that some tournament anglers have been putting on like 4 ounce weights to get in that deeper water to get a little bit better angle on those spinners. And they've been pulling them a little bit quicker through the water column. So a lot of nuances these anglers figure out, but they're good.
Well, if people want to get up there and fish maybe this fall, maybe for the fall shiner run on the Rainy River, where can they find out more information about Lake of the Woods?
You know, Lake of the Woods Tourism's Facebook is a good place. Otherwise, check out our website, lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Thank you, Joe. Doug Lear has the North Dakota Game and Fish Outdoors report just 30 seconds from now. As we all navigate through the tough times of 2020, finding new ways to enjoy summer has become a way of life. If you're searching for the perfect getaway this summer, look no further than the walleye capital of the world, Lake of the Woods. Fish the Rainy River, Big Traverse Bay, and don't forget you can still experience the uniqueness of the Northwest Angle. For your best chance to catch big fish, go where the big fish are. Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Now it's time for your North Dakota Game and Fish Outdoors Report with Doug Lear. It's brought to you by Haybale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake. Visit haybaleheights.com.
North Dakota's 2020 fall turkey season has been set. Hi, this is Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. North Dakota's fall turkey season has been set, and there will be 125 more licenses available than last year. 3,785 licenses available to hunters. Here's a couple of big notes. Unit 47. Now, Unit 47 is parts of Eddy, Foster, Kidder, Sheridan, Stutzman, and Wells County, Central North Dakota. That has been closed to fall turkey hunting because of low numbers. That is now open due to an increase in turkeys in the northern part of the unit. Unit 21, now that's out in Hettinger and Adams counties of western North Dakota, southwestern North Dakota. That does remain closed because of low turkey population. Fall turkey hunters, including gratis applicants who are interested in applying for the 2020 license, can submit an online application through the Game and Fish Department website at gf.nd.gov. Applications are also accepted by calling 1-800-406-6409. That's 800-406-6409. There is a service fee added for license applications that are made over the phone. The big point is that the deadline to apply is September 2nd. September 2nd is that deadline. Now, only North Dakota residents are eligible to apply in the first lottery. Non-residents can apply for fall turkey licenses that are still available after that first lottery. The fall wild turkey season is set to run from October 10th through January 3rd of 2021. Again, full details and application submission is all done online. Also a reminder that HIP registration is required for all migratory bird hunters. The Harvest Information Program, that is required for anyone hunting ducks, geese, swans, mergansers, coots, cranes, snipe, doves, and woodcock. Hunters must register in each state which they are licensed to hunt. That is this week's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. I'm biologist Doug Lear.
Devil's Lake is legendary, and this summer has been legendary for walleyes. Don't miss out. Call Haybale Heights Campground and Resort today to book one of their modern cabins on East Bay. The cabins are furnished with a full bathroom, kitchen, and all the amenities like high-speed internet, and are clean following CDC guidelines. Staying at Haybale Heights gives you full access to a private boat launch, fish cleaning station, and beach area. Learn more at haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Plan your trip to legendary Devil's Lake today.
Broadcasting from the Tazen Lake Lodge Studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio. Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
If you've ever walked around through the woods in this area, in this region, you're probably well aware of ticks. Maybe you pulled them off your dog. They're literally one of the reasons I don't get excited about turkey hunting in the spring. I was hunting in North Dakota one year. I sat down next to a tree. I must have sat right on a nest. And I pulled so many ticks off, I stopped counting when I got to 100. And that's when I said, okay, This is, I'm not sure if turkey hunting is for me necessarily. But in all reality, it's not the bug that bothers me so much. It's what happens, what could happen if you're bit, the possibility of Lyme disease. I've watched dogs struggle with it. I've heard stories about how debilitating it can be. Singer Avril Lavigne, of all people, she might be more well-known to parts in my world, the people in my world, more with her affliction with Lyme disease than her singing career. If treated quickly, Lyme disease can be managed. If it's not, or if it's misdiagnosed, complications could continue for many years. Why are there so many misdiagnoses? Some doctors even deny its existence, but why? A few minutes of searching the internet will bring up everything from symptoms to conspiracy theories. And I hope to get a doctor on the show. I was unable to get doctors to come on the show because I wanted to get some people in the medical profession. What I do have, however, are a few people that I know who will tell you that Lyme disease is very real. And we're going to find out how it's affecting them, how they're dealing with it, how their experiences with the medical community has gone, and now how COVID may have made this whole situation worse. First off, we have a friend of mine who I've known for a long time. We played a lot of sports in high school together. We almost got a fight in what, sixth grade or fifth grade or something like that.
I think six is right, yeah.
A fight that I probably would have lost. And also share a love of music and photography. It's Pete Nichols, who's a PhD and a former philosophy professor. Pete, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Brett.
We also have Kelly Foss with us today. Kelly has been dealing with Lyme disease for a few years now and told me that he was really sick in 2017. Kelly, thanks for being on the show as well.
Yep, thank you.
And then, of course, Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Joe, it's going to be weird to have you on the show and not talk about walleyes.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard, but I think I can resist for this topic.
Joe, it's actually your wife that has Lyme disease. How is she doing?
Yeah, she's struggling, quite frankly. Yeah, she's had it for quite a long time and really struggles with it. It's quite debilitating.
Well, I want to talk to you guys. I want to go to the beginning. I want to talk about how you discovered, that you had Lyme disease. And Kelly, let's start with you. What do you remember about your first experience? Do you remember a tick bite, a rash? How did you discover this?
It's a long and confusing story, but I'll give you the short. Basically, it started after an elk hunting trip out to Montana, grueling trip, and ran into a couple grizzly bears, very, very, very close encounters. Never been that scared in my life. And the reason I tell you that part is things progressed almost instantly from that day forward. The theory was that I was already infected. It may have been hiding in my system. I may have been fighting it, but that surge of adrenaline possibly could have purged it into my system and weakened me to a point where it just kind of started taking over. Shortly in the weeks after, I started getting a debilitating headache. I've heard of migraines, never really experienced them. I've talked to people with them, and this was much worse than anybody ever described. I physically couldn't move. Within a month or two, I was having full-blown seizures, fatigue to where I couldn't even physically get out of bed or walk across the living room at points. And from there, we just started going to doctor after doctor after doctor, and they would check my blood. They'd check all my levels. Everything looked normal except for maybe slight vitamin deficiencies. Vitamin D would drop off the charts. They couldn't figure out why that was happening. Went to neurologists, and they all basically were trying to tell me that I was depressed, even though I felt like I was living my best life, you know. And it got to the point where my wife and I were kind of giving up hope that we were going to figure out what it was. The doctors just kept throwing medication after medication on me, a lot of it antidepressants, which made me feel worse, compounded all the symptoms I was having. And luckily, a friend on Facebook reached out, and he says, you know, man, I have a sinking suspicion you have Lyme disease. He says, have you been tested for it? And I said, three or four times I had Lyme disease tests before that, and they all came back negative or inconclusive. And he said, he explained to me that that does not mean you don't have Lyme disease, even though the doctors were telling me that, I absolutely didn't. With a little research, you'll find out that the false negative rates on Lyme disease tests are very high, to the point where I don't know that I would even recommend taking them to a point, because, or if you go and just, you have to know that there is a possibility that it is a false negative and you just can't give up on it. So through a process of elimination, we checked for all the major ones that could cause some types of these symptoms and cross those all off the list. And that buddy that reached out to me, he sent me to a doctor, a Lyme literate doctor, actually the doctor that you were going to have on the show today. And when we went to that first meeting with her, my wife literally had to physically carry me into her office. I couldn't use my legs or arms anymore. And at that point, they basically said, we're going to have to do a clinical diagnosis. She says, you've ruled out every other cause that these symptoms could be. And she says, I am 99.9% sure that you have Lyme disease and co-infections. Went and got a second opinion from two other doctors, Lyme literate doctors, and they all agreed that I was dealing with Lyme disease, Bartonella, Babesia, and later after I started treatment, I developed a Candida overgrowth from all the antibiotics I was on, which is a whole nother ball game of trying to fight that as well. That's kind of short version. There's a lot of other little things in there, but that's how it started. It started with just your regular old headache that got really, really, really bad.
Pete, do you remember, is that how it kind of went for you too? You had symptoms and they kind of went backwards, or do you remember getting bit by a tick or anything like that?
Excuse me, a lot of similarities with Kelly's story. So I had kind of a history of tick bites. First of all, I grew up in the woods and I was playing out in the woods as a kid. And then 2009, I had a deer tick. I found a deer tick that was embedded in me, and I didn't develop a rash or anything. And we're going to find out that doesn't mean much. No acute symptoms at that time. 2015, I did find a deer tick, and I did develop a rash. If you develop a rash, Western medicine, that's no test is needed. They consider that it's actually much more reliable than a test. The test that they use to diagnose Lyme.
Joel, let's talk about your situation and your wife. Do you remember a tick bite in her situation?
Yeah, so you know, my wife Leah grew up in Pequot Lakes, and growing up as a kid, her job, one of her jobs, was to take the ticks off the dogs. And you know, never thought anything of it. You know, ticks were just part of life up there. And you know, she was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, you know, which is kind of a catch-all. You know, if you can't figure out what's going on, it's fibromyalgia, right? So, to make a long story short, we've been married about 11 years, and about a year and a half after we were married, we went to Mexico, and Leah was in good health. I mean, she was working out, and she had fibromyalgia and some other ailments, but she was, you know, functioning very well. And of all things, she got bit by a spider down in Mexico, and what we think happened is again, she had Lyme in her system, and that spider accelerated the dormant Lyme, which she didn't know she had, and she fell off a cliff. When she started getting these crazy symptoms, a lot of pain, headaches, you know, just a little bit of brain fog. We didn't know what they were from. We went to numerous specialists. We went to neurologists and back specialists for the pain, and we went all MRIs and CT scans, and the University of Minnesota went all over the place. Finally, we went to a homeopathic, and I was a little bit leery because I wasn't really familiar with homeopathic, you know, and of course, none of that's covered by insurance. It's all out of pocket. And so they did a test on her where they put a small current through your body. They wet your hand, and they have you hold a metal probe, and they take another metal probe and touch different parts of your body, almost like Eastern medicine, where different parts of your feet or hands relate to different organs and different things in your body. And they did this test, and they said, well, Leah, it looks like you have a Rocky Mountain spotted tick, which is a form of Lyme disease. And Leah, you know, her comment was, well, you know, I don't think that's it, because I've been tested many, many times at the hospital for Lyme disease, and it always shows negative. And what we come to learn is that, you know, when you get tested at the hospital or through modern medicine, they only detect about 50% or less of the different strains of Lyme disease. So it's a very, very inconsistent test. You know, if you get tested at the hospital, if it picks it up, well, you certainly have it. But if it doesn't pick it up, that doesn't mean you don't have it. There's additional testing. So I was leery because of the homeopathic thing I wasn't used to at the time. So there's two big blood laboratories, both coasts, very, very thorough blood laboratories. Kind of expensive, but we sent her blood out to, I think it was called Igenix, which is out in the West Coast in California. And they sent back the results saying, yes, you do have Lyme disease. So since then, I was like, okay, cool, because now we know what it is. Now we can treat it. Not realizing that if you give Lyme disease a 30-year head start, you might have a little bit of an issue. And so since then, we've been to homeopathics, regular MDs, naturopaths. Leah actually went to Germany and visited Dr. Weitzel, who's pretty world-renowned in Lyme disease treatment. And she still struggles. I mean, some of the things we've done have helped her at times, but she doesn't drive anymore, pretty much home-ridden, most days bedridden. Her symptoms would be everything from a lot of pain to sensitivity to light, brain fog. You know, we continue to treat Lyme disease for her, and you know, we're hoping that we're going to get to a point where she can get a better handle on it and live more of a normal life anyway.
Coming up, the story of a grueling elk hunt and a close encounter with a grizzly bear that triggered the onset of Lyme disease symptoms. Devil's Lake is legendary, and this summer has been legendary for walleyes. Don't miss out. Call Haybale Heights Campground and Resort today to book one of their modern cabins on East Bay. The cabins are furnished with a full bathroom, kitchen, and all the amenities like high-speed internet, and are clean following CDC guidelines. Staying at Haybale Heights gives you full access to a private boat launch, fish cleaning station, and beach area. Learn more at haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Plan your trip to legendary Devil's Lake today.
On X Hunt. Ever heard of it? Next time you see that guy at your local shop who always punches his tag on a stud whitetail, ask him. He'll tell you about the most trusted source for mapping, with nationwide landowner names, private and public land boundaries, including walk-in areas, map tools to mark spots, and the ability to view your maps without cell service. And that's just scratching the surface. It's your time to be known as the big buck guy around town. Download the leader in hunt mapping on Google Play or the App Store. On X Hunt. Know where you stand.
As we all navigate through the tough times of 2020, finding new ways to enjoy summer has become a way of life. If you're searching for the perfect getaway this summer, look no further than the walleye capital of the world, Lake of the Woods. Fish the Rainy River, Big Traverse Bay, and don't forget you can still experience the uniqueness of the Northwest Angle. For your best chance to catch big fish, go where the big fish are. Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Broadcasting from the Tazen Lake Lodge Studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
Welcome back. I'm Brett Amundson. Our guests, Pete Nichols, Joe Henry, and Kelly Foss, talking about Lyme disease. Kelly, tell us about 2017.
2017, leading up to the elk hunt, it was my first backcountry elk hunt. I was eating much healthier, drinking a lot less beer, exercising. But I still felt like I wasn't hitting my mark. Like something was always kind of dragging me back. And I thought, well, you know, I'm mid-30s, haven't always been in the best of shape. I figured it was just going to take me a while. Looking back now, and knowing what I can accomplish these days doing the same thing, I believe I was definitely infected then. And then that elk hunt came. It was physically and grueling. And then when I say the grizzly bear thing, it was bad. It's as close as you can get without getting scratched.
Yeah, what happened? Tell us the grizzly bear story.
We got there day one, hiked in 8 or 9 miles, set up our little two-man tent, went out glassing. On our way back to the tent at dusk, where you don't need a headlamp, but you can barely see. And I see this dark figure cross about 50 yards in front of us. And I look over to my partner and said, "Hey, I think that's a grizzly bear." And he goes, "What?" And giant mammoth of a shadow. And I said, that's definitely a grizzly bear. And so I pulled out my sidearm. He got out his bear spray. And I figured I'm just going to let this bear know that we're in the area. And I said, "Hey, bear. Hey, bear." And on that second "hey, bear," its ears perked up, it looked straight at us, and took off on a dead charge right for us. At about 15 yards, I was squeezing that trigger, but never fired. The bear put on the brakes and jumped into a pile of brush and just sat there and huffed at us. That was scary. Not the end of the world, except our tent was 400 yards away, and we had to spend the night knowing there was a grizzly right in the area. Long story short, we got up the next day, said, it was a fluke deal. We ran into the bear ran into us. We weren't going to give up on day one. We headed out and hiked, I think, 15 miles heading back to the tent. And we were walking into a avalanche chute meadow clearing. And when you get into these open areas, you kind of let your guard down for a second. You just feel a little safer. As soon as I let my guard down, you heard that noise that you never want to hear, that grizzly growl. And it was right there. I spun around, and about 20 yards, this bear is coming full speed. I had no time to get my firearm out. And me and my partner, we kind of split and separated. And I think that's when the bear realized there was two of us. And it ran within spitting distance and changed course slightly and ran right past me. At that moment, I thought we were dead. There was nothing we could have done. This 900-pound animal coming screaming out of the brush out of nowhere. I've never felt adrenaline like that in my life. I didn't know whether to cry, scream, fall over, or what. But it was only day two, and we're on a 10-day trip. And the realization of this is a little hairier than we expected set in. And that's when the problems started. I didn't notice it right then, but I was 2 days later was when the headache started coming in. And we thought maybe it was altitude sickness. Nobody else was getting sick, but that altitude can affect everyone a little differently. But when I got back home, it never went away, and it just kept getting worse and worse. And how long I had it before then, I don't know. I'm your average Midwest country boy. I grew up in the woods pulling thousands of ticks off me over the years. Never once thought about Lyme disease the entire time. You heard of it, but you never really gave it two thoughts unless you know someone that has it.
So you think that encounter with a grizzly bear is stressed your body and activated Lyme disease within your body?
I've had 3 Lyme doctors tell me that is a very good indicator of what happened.
Man, so looking back now, this is kind of a weird question, but are you more fearful of Lyme disease or that grizzly bear?
Lyme disease, 100%. Yeah. What I know now, had I known years prior, this is not something anybody wants to deal with. If you don't have the support around you, I don't know how somebody would even survive this. Lyme disease.
You told me that you weren't sure that you were going to survive in 2017.
Yeah, there were months I laid on the couch or in bed feeling like I was fighting for my life every second of the day. It was relentless. I was having like electrical shocks running through my arms and my fingers and my brain, that would send me into a seizure-like episode. They weren't what you would call a seizure because I was awake and coherent the whole time, but I couldn't control my body. My hands and arms would atrophy to where they were stuck like this all the time. If it wasn't for my wife, I know for a fact I wouldn't be here, whether it was by my own doing or the disease finally just... The disease itself usually doesn't kill you. It will cause something else to fail, your heart, or I've heard of guys developing cancer out of nowhere because your immune system is fighting nonstop that it allows other things to come in and just take hold. Without my wife by there by my side, there's not a chance I would have made it through it. She didn't give up, and she wouldn't let me give up.
Joe, that's something that you can probably relate to, being there for your wife as she's gone through this. Are some of these symptoms, does that sound similar to what your wife has told you?
Yeah. In fact, Kelly, what you just said, you know, my wife woke up one night when we didn't know that it was Lyme disease, but she had the symptoms. And while we're going through the process of trying to figure out what's going on, you know, she woke me up and her arms were curled in almost like MS. Mm-hmm. And you want to talk about scary, you know, but and I think the other thing too is, you know, my heart goes out to you guys because I know what you're dealing with, because I live with it every day with my wife, although I don't have to walk through it. And, you know, I think the other thing is, you know, there's a term in the Lyme world called Lyme loonies. Mm-hmm. And where Lyme loonies comes from is there was somebody at a, you know, I think a medical facility or a hospital, pretty well known one, that in a behind-the-scenes email, he says, well, if I just wouldn't have to deal with all these Lyme loonies anymore, you know, life would be a lot easier. Well, so it kind of became a tagline for people that have Lyme disease, that all of us Lyme loonies. And, you know, the figure that people use is somebody with their eyes real big and bloodshot and their hair's messed up. And it's because of all the symptoms that Lyme causes. It's just so hard. And, you know, I want to say that, you know, a lot of people question Lyme disease, and they question people that have Lyme disease. Is this something psychological? Is this something else? And, you know, for a Lyme person, when your medical provider, who maybe isn't real familiar with Lyme, hears of other people and their exact same symptoms, it's almost credibility to you as a human being that, you see, it's not just me. These symptoms are identical, and this is real. And it's not just a psychological thing. I don't know if you guys have experienced that or not.
Yeah, definitely. The mental aspects of this, I was literally losing my mind at times. There were points where I didn't even recognize being in my own home. I don't know how to explain that to anyone. I didn't recognize my wife or kids. Things people were talking to me that just the words didn't make sense, like they were speaking a foreign language. And then you go into a doctor and trying to explain it to them when you don't have the words yourself for a long time. Even today, it takes a significant amount of effort to form the words before they actually come out of my mouth. My wife can tell when it's getting bad because I'll start mumbling and I don't even notice it. Like it's so sneaky and slides in so secretly that it twists your brain to where you're not even thinking straight at all anymore.
We got to take a break. More with our guests, Pete Nichols, Joe Henry, and Kelly Foss, next on Sporting Journal Radio. Devil's Lake is legendary, and this summer has been legendary for walleyes. Don't miss out. Call Haybale Heights Campground and Resort today to book one of their modern cabins on East Bay. The cabins are furnished with a full bathroom, kitchen, and all the amenities like high-speed internet, and are clean following CDC guidelines. Staying at Haybale Heights gives you full access to a private boat launch, fish cleaning station, and beach area. Learn more at haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Plan your trip to legendary Devil's Lake today. As we all navigate through the tough times of 2020, finding new ways to enjoy summer has become a way of life. If you're searching for the perfect getaway this summer, look no further than the walleye capital of the world, Lake of the Woods. Fish the Rainy River, Big Traverse Bay, and don't forget you can still experience the uniqueness of the Northwest Angle. For your best chance to catch big fish, go where the big fish are. Lake of the Woods. Plan your trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
On X Hunt. Ever heard of it? Next time you see that guy at your local shop who always punches his tag on a stud whitetail, ask him. He'll tell you about the most trusted source for mapping, with nationwide landowner names, private and public land boundaries, including walk-in areas, map tools to mark spots, and the ability to view your maps without cell service. And that's just scratching the surface. It's your time to be known as the big buck guy around town. Download the leader in hunt mapping on Google Play or the App Store. On X Hunt. Know where you stand.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio. Broadcasting from the Tazen Lake Lodge studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio. Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're back. Thanks for tuning in across the network by demand or listening to the podcast. My name is Brett Amundson. Our guests, Pete Nichols, Joe Henry, and Kelly Foss, and we're talking about Lyme disease. Joe, yeah. What message would you give to people out there watching this right now? I mean, obviously, you all would probably agree to try to tell people to take more preventative measures when they're walking through the woods, permethrin, whatever, check for ticks, all that good stuff. But aside from that, and this is question really is for all of you guys, but Joe, you can start. If somebody says, man, what can I do? You know, how can I help? Is there a... You know, is there a way they can donate to somebody that's doing research, or is there any type of help people out there can offer?
You know, I don't know the exact answer to where you could donate and what you could support. These other guys might have a better handle on that. I can tell you this, that I think one of the things is just being cognizant of Lyme disease. And you talk about, number one, preventative measures, very important. First, prevent it. Don't even get it. Secondly, just know that if you get a small tick on you or any one of your family members, if you have any kind of reaction to the point of a mosquito bite, it doesn't have to be a bullseye rash. You don't have to get all these formalized symptoms. If you think that you have something, go in and get doxycycline, I think it's called. But the antibiotic that takes care of Lyme, go in and get doxycycline immediately. And if your doctor won't give it to you, go to another doctor. But you need to get that as fast as you can. And like these gentlemen said, you know, 2 to 4 weeks treatment, there's different perspectives on it, but just get it in your system. That can be very effective if you take it right away to knock this thing out. But it doesn't have to be a bullseye. It can just be a little bit of a, almost like a little mosquito bite even. Get it in your system. And then I think the other thing is, and know the hospital tests, like we said over and over, the hospital tests are very unreliable. So there are lots of other more better tests that take that really determine if you do have Lyme disease in your system, and other co-infections which can be just as bad. And then, you know, on top of that, I think just having an understanding that Lyme disease is real, and giving empathy and encouragement to people that have Lyme disease and families that have Lyme disease. It's a real thing. We deal with it. You're going to hear, as time goes on, mark my words, you're going to hear that people with different types of ailments, more and more is going to come out how they really had Lyme disease all along. Kelly said, Lyme disease is a great mimicker. It mimics over 100 different things. When you take antibiotics, everybody thinks, well, just take antibiotics. Can't you take IV antibiotics and knock it out? I'll tell you what happens. You can take IV antibiotics, and you can get extremely sick from that because it wears down your system. On top of that, Lyme disease has the ability to morph in your system. So it can morph and hide so that when antibiotics are all gone, it can come back even stronger when it comes back to life. Yeah. So it's not easy to treat. So just be cognizant that there are a lot of, I guess, misnomers out there when it comes to the actual disease.
Well, I know you brought up ALS at one point there, Kelly. Hasn't there been some links maybe to ALS and Lyme disease?
They very well could be the same thing. I try not to get too deep into the weeds on all that. My ability to retain information is pretty poor, but I've heard it enough to know that there is a link there, or a possible link.
I've read the same. Yeah.
MS.
Sorry, Kelly, go ahead. Just echoing that.
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to just mention before I forget about it is if you get bit, save that tick. It doesn't matter if it's a regular wood tick or a deer tick or any type of tick. Save that tick because you can test those ticks with 99% accuracy for not just Lyme disease, but the co-infections. If you can figure out what exactly you are dealing with before you have to start dealing with it, you are light years ahead of the game. Because once it's in you and in your system, it's a guessing game until you find that perfect cocktail of lifestyle, diet, and treatments that will get you better. So save that tick. All you have to do is Google tick testing, and about 50 different businesses will pop up. There's places that'll do it for free. Save that tick, put it on a piece of tape. So, because I don't think people really realize how small a nymph deer tick is. It is almost impossible to see with the naked eye. And that's all it takes. So if you get bit, do whatever you can to get it out whole. If it's burrowed in, you're going to have to cut it out. Go into a doctor, have them cut it out. Save that thing, send it in. You'll know within a couple days whether it was infected with any type of disease, and then you can get on that doxycycline and fight your doctor to get that doxycycline. There's a lot of doctors that will push back on that big time. The way I've told my friends, I've had four friends go in with bullseyes this year, and the doctors say, here's one pill of doxycycline. What is one pill going to do? I said, get 3 to 6 weeks and ask your doctor what the side effects from just taking the doxycycline is going to be. It's not going to hurt you. There's no reason they should deny you that, I believe. Save those ticks.
Sure. That's great advice.
I'm curious too, guys. You one of the things you brought up, Kelly, which is really important, and Pete, you too, but diet. Are you guys on pretty strict diets?
Hardcore. I've lost 100 pounds in the last year and a half.
Oh my gosh.
Strictly diet.
But the diet you're on, the purpose, I don't think, is to lose weight. Isn't it a specific diet because of Lyme disease?
Yeah. The way I look at it is you want to do absolutely everything you can to have your body working for you. And across the board, diet is number one. Once you realize that, and the diet can be very different for different people. We're all different genetics. You've got to experiment and find out what works for you. I was straight vegetarian for a year, and I'm a meat eater. I'd never eaten vegetables before this. I mean, very little unless they were with my meat. I was willing to do it. Then I switched over to a carnivore diet, which is the exact opposite. It was straight meat and fat. And I did that against my doctor's wishes, but out of desperation to try something. And that's when everything changed for me. And I'm not recommending anyone else do it. I did it for myself, but I think it was those healthy fats getting back and getting my brain working again. At least that's the research I did, is that those fats will really help brain activity. And I would say within 3 weeks of doing that, it was like the lights turned back on for me. And since then, I do like a mixture of healthy fats and healthy vegetables and a little bit of fruit.
Well, if it's
gonna, and avoid sugar.
If it's going to turn you into a vegetarian, now we know how serious the situation is.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to make jokes. Yeah. Pete?
No.
For somebody out there, is there some good research out there that you can recommend, or somebody that people could support, or some way we can help raise money for research out there?
There are some good organizations. The largest one and the most influential that I'm aware of is ILADS. That's an acronym. It stands for International Lyme and Associated Diseases. I'm getting blanking on the last part. They are doing a lot of research. They are educating physicians. So that is one excellent organization, ILADS. And then there is a newer charity, the Twin Cities Lyme Foundation. They are, so far, I really like them. What they do is you can, if you have Lyme, you can put your name in there and get on a waiting list. And they are funding people with Lyme who can't afford it to go in and get an initial and follow-up appointment with a Lyme literate medical doctor or naturopathic doctor. So they fund the first two visits. And I was able to get in and see a Lyme literate naturopathic doctor through them and get my first two visits funded. And that's a big deal. But I mean, because awesome. We're talking about all these out-of-pocket expenses, and Lyme doesn't only affect people who have a little bit extra money laying around. It can affect anybody, and there are a lot of people out there with Lyme disease who, from the get-go, do not have enough extra money to do any kind of out-of-pocket treatment. So, Twin Cities Lyme Foundation—that's another one that a local one that I think is very good.
I agree.
All right, guys. Well, I really appreciate the time here on the show today. I wish you well, Pete and Kelly. I wish you guys health and hope you guys have better days ahead. And of course, Joe, wish your wife well for us. And guys, if there's anything else you would like people to know, forward it to me and I'll share it here with everything that we do with Sporting Journal Radio. Good luck with everything and thanks for being on the show.
Yeah. Thanks, Brett.
Yep, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, my thanks to Pete Nichols, Kelly Foss, and Joe Henry there for being on the show. A portion of this interview aired today on this radio show, but we have much more that we discussed with these guys about their symptoms, some of the problems they've went through, and what the future might look like for them. You can see and hear and listen and watch the entire interview coming in a video version on the Sporting Journal Radio Facebook page and YouTube channel. If you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel or followed us on Facebook and Instagram, go there and click like, click follow, click subscribe, do all the things that you need to do. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.
Sporting Journal Radio is a division of Macaba LLC. If you've got a question, comment, or story idea for us, send us an email. Go to sportingjournalradio.com. While you're there, you can learn how to advertise on the show and visit our store for hats, hoodies, coffee mugs, and more. Go to sportingjournalradio.com.